Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with the International and Vaccine Report with our experts from overseas, Dr. Mike Eden, former Pfizer whistleblower, Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe, and Andrea Klarich, businessman and journalist. And Dr. Gilthorpe is a scientist and researcher on all of these subjects that we are exploring. We want to talk with all of you today about the missing pieces of the puzzle of what's been happening for the last 4 years. Many of you are very aware of Senator Ron Johnson's four-hour panel roundtable discussion with many experts working on the coronavirus and what is called a pandemic. We'll talk about that in a moment. And there were many good points brought up at the four-hour panel. But for all of you listening to the Whistleblower Report and expecting us to bring you truth that isn't disclosed, we want to focus today on the missing pieces of the puzzle that were not brought up in the 4 hours of discussion. Now, our focus is on what was not disclosed by the experts, science, medical, and other experts who spoke. This is not a criticism of Senator Ron Johnson. He is a businessman and he is a senator. He is not a medical or scientific expert. What our concern is that those who are medical and scientific experts are only presenting part of the picture. And the public that we serve needs to have a fuller picture. And we're going to talk candidly today about what wasn't discussed that needed to be discussed. And I'm going to ask Dr. Mike Eden to take the lead on that, because all of us have been discussing the fact that there was no public health emergency of international concern. There wasn't a pandemic. There wasn't a public health emergency. The illnesses that we were seeing in 2020, upper respiratory illness, could be treated with existing medicines and existing approaches that we've used for my whole 40 years in medicine and that have been used since long before I went into medicine. We have had the medicines that worked for at least 65 years. And we know that sunshine and fresh air and vitamin D and a whole host of other strategies are what you need to prevent getting an upper respiratory illness in cold and flu season. And there's a lot that was covered up, suppressed, prevented. People were told to get sicker and go home and then come to the hospital when they were critically ill. And I've said thousands of times, we've never done that in my entire medical career or in the history of modern medicine. The goal is to identify illness quickly, establish what's going on, and treat it as quickly as possible. We don't tell people to go home and wait until their cancer becomes stage four. We don't tell people to go home and wait until their heart attack is a massive cardiac arrest. We try to treat them quickly. That's always been how we approached any viral illness, any bacterial illness, or any illness. And that was not done. So there are many other facts that we now know without question, unequivocally, not theory, they are facts. And many of those facts were not included in that 4 hours. So, Dr. Eden, you've worked closely with Senator Ron Johnson since 2020, as I did as well. For the whole of the year, I was behind the scenes working with him, getting him medical information. And you and I both know him well. We know that he's a man of integrity and that he has listened to both of us. So you listened to his four-hour panel, and you took the time to write him a personal letter. I'd like you to take the lead and share with us the concerns that you raised in your letter, and you've agreed to make that available for our listeners to read as part of the show notes. So thank you for being with us. And then in the second half, we'll hear more from Dr. Gilthorpe and Andrea Claridge.
Okay, thank you. It's great to be back again, Dr. Mike Eden. So so I've interacted with Senator Johnson, intermittently but steadily, and in very, very good personal terms. Really, I think since the back end of 2020. He convened this panel, and I saw the recording of it, I think just a few days ago. And I didn't write to him directly. I wrote a comment actually on somebody's Substack article. I wrote essentially, that this is distressing for me to have to write this. And what I was writing was not an attack on Senator Johnson, nor any named individual, because there are maybe 10 credentialed scientists and medics that he had convened in this panel. And each of them spoke for a few minutes, bit of an exchange with the senator, and then on to the next person. So I watched maybe 2/3 of it because I knew some of the people personally. And so I wanted to go and see what they were saying. Now, it's important again for me to say that all these people are credentialed, they're doctors, or researchers, academics, and so on. None of them said anything that I think is untrue or a lie, nothing like that, not saying that. But this is a key point. I've never heard of this phrase limited hangout until the 2020 COVID. What is a limited hangout? A limited hangout is it's a Secret Service kind of phrase. It means that when people are getting close to the truth, what we choose to do is step forward, take control of the situation, and tell some truths whilst preserving the most important parts of the deception. And I think, unfortunately, and I'm not saying all of the panelists did this deliberately. I don't think that's true. I think some of them don't even know that they're only telling part of the truth. But what happened, and I will detail two key pieces that was absolutely missing from the discussion. So they said truthful things, lots of truthful things, and two things were missing. And the reason they were missing is I think they were guided to somehow. I don't know whether they're brainwashed or actually given a brief, but they didn't speak about what are these two things. One is, as Dr. Lee said at the off, there was not, ladies and gentlemen, a public health emergency of international concern. Now, you were told there was, and it was all over the TV, night and day, and people falling down, face down in Wuhan. These things were all, they were all fakes. It was augmented by the use of an inappropriate diagnostic test called this PCR test. It's not suitable for diagnosing clinical illness. So if someone waves it at you, they have been misled. And if they're very senior, they're misleading you. You cannot diagnose clinical illness, and absolutely not in any kind of mass testing program. So there was not a public health emergency of international concern. If you want to check this, and I really do urge that you do, it would not take you long. There's an academic called Dennis Rancourt in English, R-A-N-C-O-U-R-T. He's a Canadian. He's pretty much a polymath, I would say, a very bright guy. If you go to Dennis Rancourt, you can find his website, and he's got about 30 articles that have analyzed what we call the epidemiology, the rate at which people died, who died, when, what age, where. And his analysis shows very clearly there was not a public health emergency, right? But you did not hear anybody saying that around the panel table. And yet, isn't that dramatic when I tell you that? And I couldn't believe it when I first heard it. You know, I knew that they'd exaggerated, and you probably know they've exaggerated, but you probably didn't know there was literally nothing. If they count the bodies by location, date of death, and age of death and sex in each of the 50 US states, with nothing happened at all until the guy from the WHO said there is a pandemic. And then there were, you may have noticed, remarkable changes in medical practice in hospitals. People were tested, so positive, they put on ventilators, they were given remdesivir. In care homes, elderly folks were isolated, they were put on a do not resuscitate pathway. They were often given sedative drugs, midazolam and morphine. My PhD was in the effect of those drugs on human respiration. So when I tell you, when I saw those drugs and those doses, I knew that that would lead to death, which of course it did. And then thirdly, in the community, people were told, go home. Instead of giving people who have early signs of an acute respiratory illness precautionary antibiotics, which is extremely common, especially in a vulnerable person who's ill or elderly, they told them to go home. So in all three cases, that was the pulse of death that they call COVID. It wasn't a public health concern. We call this an iatrogenesis. It's when medical practice results in injury and death. I'm not saying all the doctors were culpable. I'm sure they weren't. Some damn well knew. But no one in this panel talked about it. What they did talk about is, what is COVID? Where did it come from? Was it from the wet market? Was it from a lab? Did Fauci fund this stuff at Wuhan? So what were they doing when they went over and over and over that ground? I think they reinforced the notion that by accident or by design, scary viruses that can travel around the world and wreck your life can happen at any moment. And then you're going to need the government to step in and do violent things that deprive you of liberty in order to keep you safe. Those things are all BS. It didn't happen, and it's not necessary. So that's my biggest concern. Well, the first concern, because it maintains. The reason I'm emphasizing this, it's not history. They're going to do it again. This is part of a multiple, multi-attack on humans. And Andrea Klarich will tell you about, you know, he's just interviewed someone who unbelievably is going to tell you something that I think will frighten you, but it'll make very relevant what I've just said. The second thing that never came up in the panel was that the materials that they have called vaccines that were rushed towards you in under a year from the pharmaceutical industry, and then people were, I would say, coerced, and in some cases even mandated on pain of losing their livelihood, being dismissed from their profession or dishonorable discharge and so on, to have these things. Now, if the first part of what I just told you is true, that wasn't a public health emergency, why would it make any sense for the industry to get in on its turbo and bring these things forward? And of course, the answer is it didn't. That was the cover for them bringing you something. Now, for my sins, I am Dr. Mike Eden, the most senior former pharmaceutical company research person in the world, speaking out at the moment. And I can tell you, after 30 years leading teams of what's called rational drug design, when you build a molecule to do something or to not do things and so on, you have objectives in mind. And so when you look at the design of a molecule, you can deduce the objectives. Not always, but you can do a lot of it. And so I've talked about this before. When I looked at these injections, I knew that they would induce autoimmune disease, which would produce injuries. I figured that while some people would be injured, others would die, and that was true. And there were some specific things about the design of them that meant that they would accumulate in reproductive tissue, ovaries and testes. And I thought, this is going to dump healthy reproduction. I wrote this down with a German doctor in December 2020, before any of them were authorized. Now, as you know, I think you will know by now, if you're listening to this, that many people have been killed, huge numbers have been injured, and the birth rates in almost every heavily injected country have fallen in an unprecedented way. And so, without blowing my trumpet, we were right before they were launched to say, we're frightened about what's going to happen. We're really fearful. And so I have been pro bono speaking out, working with Dr. Lee, actually, since I think 2020, we certainly first were in touch. So I'm telling you that this panel of clever people who didn't lie, but left out the two most important things, that there wasn't an emergency that needed anything from the government, and you definitely didn't need anything from the pharmaceutical industry, and nothing of the design that they've given you. And I'm afraid, although until 2020, I would be Mr. Normal, watch TV, read the papers, laughed at people's conspiracy theories, I've become a person now that's a conspiracy realist, because as I've described, what is happening is clearly a really malevolent plan. There's evidence that goes back many years of this planning. It involves the whole of the state, the whole of the institutions turned against the people, not just in America, but in my country, Britain, and in every country in which I've looked. I certainly believe collectively the West is under serious, persistent lethal attack. Why they're doing this exactly, I don't know. And we could talk about this, but the panelists didn't tell you there wasn't an emergency, and they didn't warn you that therefore it was inappropriate to develop anything at speed. They just criticized the weaknesses in the development speed and so on. So they made appropriate, they landed some punches, but I think you can hear from me that these things were never appropriate, and instead they are designed poisons. That's what they are. So it's a matter of shame for me. I was 33 years in the industry. I never suspected anything like this could happen. Never saw anything like this. And yet there they are. And so I'll take a pause, Dr. Lee, and maybe take a steer from anybody on the call. That was what I saw. And as I say, it's more in sorrow than in anger, because I like Senator Johnson, and I know some of the panelists. So, but that's what went down. Please don't watch it thinking you're getting the truth, you're getting some truth. They have called themselves the Dream Team. So you may see those talking heads again. And please be careful. Use discernment. Listen to other people. I note, for example, some of the most qualified people to speak, me, for example, have wanted to speak and have given hundreds of interviews. You've probably never heard of me. And that's because I'm extremely effectively censored and smeared everywhere. Why is that? I think it's because I'm telling the truth and the others aren't. So I'll pause there.
Well, I think that's critically important, Dr. Yeadon. And I agree with you that the first two points were very much missing from all of this. And I want to add to what you said. The vaccines are not traditional vaccines. They're gene therapy, experimental, and they were countermeasures under the legal definition, developed under a prototype contract by Pfizer and the other manufacturers, with a contract from the Department of Defense. And the huge elephant in the room that was missing from that four-hour panel, except for comments made by Dr. Harvey Risch, that this was a Department of Defense operation perpetrated on our U.S. military service members, citizens, and the world. And that whole aspect of this, which has been well documented legally in court filings, in the Brooke Jackson case against Pfizer, in Todd Callender's, that was filed with Warner Mendenhall and other attorneys, that was clearly documented in the court records that these were countermeasures developed on a prototype for the DOD by Pfizer in the Pfizer case, Brooke Jackson is still taking forward. And in the case against Secretary Austin, Todd Callender's legal team documented all of this as well. And Sasha Latapova and Catherine Watt have done incredible research from the pharma and legal end, documenting the role of the Department of Defense in orchestrating all of this. So I find that, that's like a herd of elements sitting in the room on that panel discussion that was never discussed. It was briefly mentioned by Dr. Harvey Risch, and he was quickly shut down.
Yeah, I've just got one other thing to add. I'm just looking at my notes. I did write to Senator Johnson because he contacted me about, I'd made some comments on online saying more or less what I've just told you here. There's another thing that isn't true, that you may have been told, you will have been told over and over again, probably for a good part of your life. A couple of things. One is that the climate is changing in a way that represents a crisis, even an existential crisis, and that we are the principal cause of that. All three of those things are not true. Now, of course, I'm not a climate scientist, but I am a scientist. And I've spoken to, I've read the papers of the people I would describe as my peers, Dr. Judith Curry, Dr. Richard Lindzen, Professor Happer. There are half a dozen people that are at least as clever as I am in biology, more clever in climate science than I'm in my discipline. And they all say that if there are changes in the climate at all over the last 140 years, they are mild. They're not problematic. If anything, the world has become more florid. The greenery is growing better as CO2 concentrations have risen slightly. But we are at a geological near low of CO2. And there's virtually no contribution to that increase comes from us burning fossil fuels. So that's the first of 2 points. So you're being told not to have your cars, not to travel because of this climate emergency. I'm afraid it's so badly BS. I'm upset that more people haven't realized it, because honestly, you don't need to do very much research to realize that. So that's one thing I want you to hold in your heart. And I'll tell you why in a moment. The other one you may have heard since the late 60s, the planet's overpopulated. There are too many humans on the planet. We're beyond the carrying capacity of this good Earth. Now, none of these things are true. We are almost certainly, most demographers think we're at the peak population or close to of human beings. Many people, including Elon Musk, God bless him, who's been saying that by the end of the century, the biggest problem he anticipates is population collapse. So we don't have too many. And the reason I emphasize these two things, that they're not true, but they've been perpetrated over many years. Money has been, palms have been crossed with silver for people to say wrong things and not say truthful things. People's tenure track jobs in universities have depended on it, and so on. Why do I mention this? When you see what's coming at us, and you may have noticed a loss of freedom, a requirement for everything to be digitized, a threat of a requirement to carry digital ID, a requirement to show that you've been jabbed, vaccine passports. In my view, these weapons could, and I think will, be used to reduce the population of the world. There's no need to do it. We're not destroying the environment. The world is a fecund and bountiful place. The climate is stable. It will be fine before we were here and after we've gone. But I think some people, when they realize the severity of the attacks upon us, may think, you know, maybe they got a point. You know, maybe humans have wrecked the climate. Maybe there's too many of us. I don't want you to think that. You know, God doesn't want you to think that. The science doesn't say you should think that. And I don't want you to think that in your heart, that, you know, maybe I've heard some people, two people have written to me in the last 4 years saying, more or less, dirty job, someone's got to do it. I'm not kidding. These were nice people who explained to me that we reckon the climate, there's too many of us. And I thought, my God. So some people have been caught in the trap. And I think for every person who wrote to me, there are 1,000 people who think it. So please don't think it. It's not true. But why have those two lies been perpetrated? Well, I think it's partly to provide the grounds for control, because they are using those grounds for control. And I think it's partly to kind of stab you in the heart of, shall I defend myself? Because if you think they're right after all, you probably won't. And they're wrong. They're diabolical figures. I have no idea why they're doing it. But it's not for the reasons that they are suggesting. So sorry to use up more time, Dr. Lee.
No, I think that's critically important. What about Dr. Gilthorpe and Andrea Klarich? Any comments on what Dr. Eden and I have led off with for this whistleblower report before we take a break and come back to some other topics?
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
Hello, everyone. This is Lieutenant Mark Bashaw, U.S. Army and legal grant recipient of the Truth for Health Foundation. I want to give a huge shout out to the Truth for Health Foundation for helping me and my family over the past year with our legal battles. Recently, I was court-martialed for not participating with these experimental COVID-19 emergency use authorized products. If it wasn't for Truth for Health Foundation and all the support, I would definitely be in a worse spot. But because of all the support, I'm able to continue uniform service, fighting for what's right to protect the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Hello, Dr. Lee. Hello, Mike. Hello, Andrea. I applaud what Mike said. I think it's very important. You know, there's so much focus on looking forward, especially in these kind of round tables that Senator Johnson had. People are trying to present their latest data or latest ideas, and often very little reflection of what's happened. You know, flu disappeared. There were no deaths from influenza in 2021. Two, three, or very few. You know, this idea, is it a lab leak or was it a, you know, did it appear in a wet market? I think both of those are deceptions that cover up the real truth of what happened there. And, you know, whether it was deliberately released virus or just an entirely propaganda run operation, well, people take different views on that. But, you know, it's drawing attention away from the real question, which is, who released this? Who started the pandemic? Who planned this and why? And these kind of events don't take that up. There was one good speech by or presentation by Kevin McKernan, who actually is showed evidence for integration of DNA or integration of the mRNA vaccines or DNA contaminating them into the genome of a cancer cell line, limited. Just an N of one, so they've only repeated the experiment once, but it did show that they had strong evidence or strong preliminary evidence that some nucleic acid from the vaccines can integrate into the genome. But, you know, in terms of really getting down to the nuts and bolts of the problem, how do we fix this? It's very frustrating that there are very few people on the political stage globally that are actually addressing this, or at least the ones that do don't get heard. And, you know, Mike is not on the political stage, but he's not getting heard either. And that's, you know, then you actually really see, I think there is somebody running these operations at some level. So the real truth doesn't get out.
I really think you're right, Jonathan. I've been seeing that a great deal. And the repetitive talking points, I mean, there's another piece of the puzzle that I notice from my medical experience, because this is my field of medical practice, is all the endocrine changes. You hardly ever hear any of the medical people speaking on the national circuit ever mentioning all of the damage to all of the endocrine organs. They talk about cardiac, neurologic, blood clotting, spike protein toxicity. And that's about it. You don't hear all of the classes of damage, the six classes of damage that we've been presenting. And I almost never hear anyone talking about the damage to the thyroid, the ovaries, the testicles, the endocrine, the pancreas and its endocrine function, and the skyrocketing diabetes, or the endocrine functions of the kidney, or adrenals, or pituitary, and the parathyroid glands. You almost never hear that. And yet, Dr. Yeadon brought to my attention July 2nd, 2021, the damage to the endocrine organs from the lipid nanoparticles that went back, at least the publications were 12 years ahead of the shot rollout, which meant the research was going on 15 years ahead of the rollout of the COVID shots. And that was staggering to me. That was why we immediately jumped in and started planning Stop the Shot campaign that started August 4th, 2021, because I knew if every endocrine organ was damaged, we had major problems they weren't talking about. Did you want to comment?
Just follow that. Well, I just follow that up, Dr. Lee. I mean, it's very clear from the data that there has been a big drop in the birth rate from major Western nations that have very high vaccine uptake, and particularly in Sweden, where the excess deaths are probably only running about 5 or 6% from 2021, 22, 23. But the drop in the birth rate is something about around about 12%. And it coincided precisely with 8 to 9 months after the rollout of the vaccines into that proportion of the population that, you know, childbearing age, so women between 18 and 50, 45, say. And this is consistently, you know, it's been reported just last week that this is the lowest birth rate or biggest drop in birth rate since the 1700s when records began. But whenever that's published in national newspapers, there is not a single attempt to explain it, nothing at all. And I know a politician tried to ask a question about this in the House of Parliament in Sweden last week, and she was forbidden from asking the question. So it's a serious cover up. And, you know, this is something nobody's really talking about, is the drop in birth rate.
Well, you are correct. And we're seeing that across all of the heavily vaccinated countries. We had, to put that in perspective for Americans, we had a higher rise in illegal invaders across our borders than the American birth rate last year under the Biden administration. Our birth rate is declining here as well. And that's happening across all the countries in Europe that we've talked about before on this show. Now, the birth rate is definitely affected, which goes to the endocrine damage to the ovaries and testicles and the vascular damage to the uterine lining, and also the damage, the autoimmune reaction to the protein, syncytin, that women need for the placenta to start be made to start a pregnancy. So it's multiple attacks on fertility, not to mention the problems with the thyroid as well, which helps to regulate the ovaries and testicles. So it's very much a coordinated attack on the endocrine system, which affects fertility and reproduction, as well as every other function in the body. We'll take a break here and then come back and talk more about breaking news topics and what's going on overseas as well as across America. This is Dr. Lee for America. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, and look at all of our resources to improve your health and resilience and bring you truth, the big truth against the lies and deception. And we do our best to present as many pieces of the puzzle as we can verify rather than partial truths. So check out our website, lots of resources there. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with Dr. Mike Yeadon, Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe, and Andrea Klarich, representing the UK, Sweden, and Croatia, as well as my role here as a physician in the United States. So I know, Jonathan and Andrea, you may have things to bring us from the news in Sweden and Croatia. So let's explore that. Andrea, you had a recent interview with a doctor from Germany that is quite important, and we'll put the link in the show notes for this program. Tell us a little bit about his points, because he was warning, as we have been, that there's another event being planned. They call it a pandemic, but there's another attack on humanity being planned. What did he have to say about that in a few key words, and then we'll put your interview up for people to listen to the whole program.
Yeah. Hello, Dr. Lee. Hello, Jonathan and Mike. It's really a pleasure to be with you again. Yes, I had the interview with the Dr. Heiko Schoening, and he's the one important person who is already published a book in 2018, and he said then that it will come new pandemic, fake pandemic. He said it's important. And he knew in front already 2 years before it happened. That's why it's important now to see what his new book is saying. And it's a new book who is telling us that it will be new event, big event, we have to say, because it will be again possible fake pandemic. I asked him directly, it will be a real pandemic or fake. Both possibilities are on the table. They need to decide what will happen. But what is important, it will be bacteria. And he already mentioned people who are preparing everything. And these people are well known for us already. We know them from other topics. For example, Mr. Epstein, who invested a lot of money in this preparedness. Guy by name McManus, who is chief of Novavax, and also a guy who is, according his words, deeply involved in trafficking with drugs. And they already have a company who will produce antibiotics because it will be bacteria who will attack microbiome. And now they will offer as a solution microbiotic, and company who will produce it, its name is National Resilience. And it will be same like in this pandemic. There will be big panic through media. They'll say that it's really very danger disease. People will die from it, and they will offer solution. Solution will be mRNA antibiotic. And of course, in the second step, they will offer probiotics the same way. And we can recognize the same pattern. We know now that if you take more vaccines, then there is a better chance to get and die from COVID. And same thing will be here. If you take probiotics, then you have a problem. If you don't take nothing, then in this case, you will survive, of course. But I invite everybody to look to this interview because he explained in details. And also I invite everybody to read his book because he's offering proof, he's offering names, what is very important. And if we are aware of it and if we're expecting, then we can prepare ourselves in case when they start to tell us stories, then we can say, okay, there's a new fake emergency situation and we have to be careful not to do anything what they suggest. That's the most important thing. We should not do anything what they suggest as countermeasures. And of course, behind all of these plans or conspiracy, he claimed that it's standing CIA, American Central Intelligence Agency. And you can find everything in my interview.
That's great. I really appreciate that. We've all been warning about the next event. We know they're planning it. They've been telling us they're planning it. And after what we've all been through with the suppression of early treatment in 2020 for the viral illness or the upper respiratory illness that I was seeing everywhere and trying to treat, and they were telling us treatments didn't work, I think the message for everybody is going to be do the opposite of what the government is telling us to do. Any comments, Jonathan, Mike?
Yes, Dr. Lee, I listened to the interview actually, Andrea, with Heiko, and I met Heiko in January of 2023, I think, when he was in Stockholm at the conference we organized. And, you know, he was very early out with this warning people about the pandemic was coming. Unfortunately, the first book was in German, so many people didn't necessarily get the information, I think, in the West and in the English speaking part of the world. But I think it's a very interesting hypothesis he's come out. He's clearly identified people that were involved in the first pandemic, and these seem to be working heavily on, you know, bacteria and engineering microbiome as the next possible target of attack. And that will weaken, you know, us immeasurably if that is successful. There is quite a bit of evidence that the microbiome of the gut is altered also after COVID-19 disease or COVID-19 vaccination. And Dr. Sabine Hazan in the US has done a lot of work on this, looking at bacteria that get changed in the gut when people have had, well, what's termed long COVID. It could well be vaccine damage, or people she knows specifically have vaccine damage. And she can reverse some of those symptoms by replacing some of the bacteria that get depleted, which is particularly bifidobacteria and lactobacillus species. And you can get these in certain probiotic supplements. You can get them in fermented foods that you would make yourself or buy down at the farmer's market. So I think
we actually have them in our products, Dr. Gilthorpe.
Oh, that
we curated a special probiotic complex with a very sophisticated probiotic formula to counteract the injury to the microbiome after antibiotics, after COVID vaccine. The bifidobacteria are practically wiped out in the gut. And when I knew we needed to find a more reliable probiotic, we started working with the microbiologist consulting with us who develops formulas for companies. And we also started working with the manufacturer of our nutraceuticals and products in Truth for Health store, and specifically selected the probiotic daily that has multiple strains of bifidobacteria as well as other species of bacteria, and to replenish the microbiome. And then the complex formula that people can take for 2 weeks is a very sophisticated one designed to be therapeutic after surgery, probiotics, severe illness, COVID vaccines, and so on. And I did a write-up on that for our website and for the store, so listeners can look at that. But you're exactly right. That is a huge part of the problem.
Yeah. And so that's a great way out for people, I think, Dr. Lee, because, you know, we rarely, I think, after we've had what might be a viral illness or something like a cold or a flu, we don't really think about our stomachs. But, you know, we are what we eat, and the bacteria in our gut are extremely important for both our mood and for our health, because they make a lot of small chemicals, biochemicals that are important. For example, bifidobacteria make something called butyrate, which is used for modifying our genome. It's used for creating certain hormones that make us feel
yes,
well.
Yes, yes,
we don't
you're
have
so
those,
right.
The immune system doesn't function properly. So, yeah, I think this, it makes sense for me what Heiko has presented as a possible route, a big route to attack humanity. And we know it, I think we know that, you know, the plan is depopulation. It's already started. And as we talked about the drop in birth rate, that is one route for depopulation. But if we go back to the Deagle report that we've mentioned on previous cases where certain countries were projected to have, you know, less than 50% of the population left by 2025. If that's planned for, then it needs to be a pretty serious attack. And this is something that could fit with that. So I think people should be aware of it and make plans, stock up on probiotics, or definitely take care of your gut health.
Well, you can't just stock up on any probiotic, because most of the commercial products contain only lactobacillus. And if you take lactobacillus only probiotics, no matter how many strains of lactobacillus are in it, over time, they start changing the pH of the gut.
I see.
And support more of the unwanted negative deleterious bacteria. And that is a direct discussion and interview with the microbiologist whose career has been formulating. In fact, he's actually developed a probiotic for farmers to use to help replenish the healthy bacterial balance in the soil that has been depleted by all of these genetically engineered and modified and potent environmental endocrine disrupting chemicals like glyphosate and others. Sorry, talking too fast. And Dr. Raul Cano is actually brilliant in the formulations he's developed. What I really would say to people is you have to look carefully at the probiotics. You just pick up one off the shelf in, you know, the standard drugstore, and you're really not getting what you need, and you're not getting a variety of bacterial species and multiple strains within those species for the reasons you said.
They're not regulated in any way, are they?
No, they're not. Now, the company that is the manufacturer for all of the products for Truth for Health Foundation is compliant with the current good manufacturing practices, and that plant is in the United States. It is inspected by the FDA. In fact, the inspections for our nutraceuticals and vitamins that we sell in the store are more stringent than any inspection ever done for the COVID shots that were injected into people. It's quite striking. But that is rare. It's totally voluntary. It's more costly for manufacturers to do that. And there is no regulatory oversight in the United States. Germany has been better at regulating natural medicines than the U.S. We have no regulatory oversight. So, and a lot of the vitamin manufacturers have been bought out by big pharma, big players like Monsanto and Nestle, and investment companies. It's quite staggering to see how the smaller, high quality manufacturers of supplements with integrity, pure encapsulations, integrative therapeutics, enzymatic therapies, ones that I've recommended for a long time, they've all been bought out. And the quality is changing, lower cost ingredients. We don't know the sourcing of the ingredients. It's very alarming what's happening in the supplement market. So if you're going to invest the money in probiotics, you need to research it carefully, and you need to look at resources that are reputable and that contain multiple species of bacteria and multiple strains within those species. Really, really important. So, other comments?
Yeah, this is Mike. I guess just one last thing, just to connect some of the threads that we've been speaking about over the months, that we had former financier David Rogers Webb on a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how he had discovered that private property rights have been subverted over time in the same way that Catherine Watt had discovered that public health laws have been subverted over time. And I think what that tells us is that amongst the many areas of our lives that will come under attack, one is money and private property. And so just to remind people that doing what you can to protect yourself, it's incomplete. I'm in the same boat. You know, some people buy Bitcoin, some people buy physical precious metals. Everyone, I think, would be well advised to stock up with a supply, not just of nutraceuticals, but also just calories and fresh water. Because I don't want to scare people, and I have no knowledge of timing, but I think there's likely to be a discontinuity at some point, because that provides a perfect opportunity for authoritarian governments to, quote, step in and help us. So you don't want their help. So that's what I'm doing, just setting aside some resources to, as I say to my wife, it's not to, you know, ride out whatever's coming, but it's to give us some thinking time. So even if you just get enough food and supplies to be independent for a couple of weeks, whatever you can afford, I think that will be a good investment.
I think you're right. And one of the things we've been doing in all of our programming with Faith Over Fear since the spring of 2022 has been helping people prepare for the next event that they have been telegraphing and saying openly they're going to do. Bill Gates, with this sinister, evil look on his face, this very sinister, diabolical grin, is on video record saying, well, they'll take it seriously next time. And he and Melinda look at each other with this wicked grin. It gave me chills when I watched it. They've all been saying that the next one's coming. Tedros talks about it. Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, Fauci, people at NIH and CDC and FDA and all the three-letter agencies in the U.S. So check out the resources on our website. They're very practical ways you can be more self-sufficient, more resilient. And I've actually, Dr. Eden, I've been encouraging in our programs for people to get 6 months' supply of medicines and their vitamins, their critical vitamins, minerals, nutraceuticals, and start stocking up food. You know, the Mormon Church recommends that people store food for up to a year. Now, most people may not be able to do that at today's food prices, but you can start getting basic staples and have those and build a stock of clean water. Water is critical. You can go longer without food than without water. So I think this is all very important to do. Andrea, any thoughts? You've been through wars in your country.
Yeah, I would also suggest whatever you say concerning preparation in the future. And it's also psychologically, when you are prepared, then you are more brave to make decisions.
Exactly, I would like also, right.
Yeah. Well, I would like to add one very interesting thing, what I heard from Dr. Schoening. Well, I asked him how they're going to decide which town they will close or how they will go in the lockdown, how they will test this bacteria. And it's interesting thing. They will do testing of wastewater. That means they will test if they find bacteria in the wastewater of some town, then they will decide to go in lockdown for that town. That means they will do it separately, town by town or place by place, with a testing wastewater of this town in a way that they can close all area if they found just in one wastewater channel bacteria. And this is something interesting because you know that we have mentioned already that we could stop or make this zero COVID strategy just with stop testing. Dr. Wolfgang Wodan
yes.
said this.
Yes.
If you stop testing, there will be no COVID. And this is the same thing. They will test wastewater. If they found bacteria, they said, oh, it's danger. Let's close whole city. And this is something what maybe we can connect to the COVID policy.
You're exactly right. The test was false. They used it to scare people. Dr. Yeadon has been screaming about that until he's blue in the face. So have I. I told my patients to stop getting the test. But people are still, my gosh, they're still going and buying the test kits. They're still testing. And the test is not specific. It's not reliable. It was meant to scare people with false positives.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, this wastewater testing, Dr. Lee, was something they, invented during COVID. And it's all tied in also with the World Health Organization's plan for world domination, which, I hope we have until, sadly, they're successful in their attempts to gain world domination before they go for the next one, because that will then enable, it'll put in place the infrastructure to shut down an entire town based on wastewater testing rather than individual testing, which is pretty much what they did in China. They tested that all out in COVID. by shutting down entire cities of tens of millions of people and locking people down under immense hardship, I would say. And, you know, I saw some films of people committing suicide, throwing themselves from buildings because they couldn't handle that any longer. But this is the world we're moving into, is where policy decisions are taken over entire regions based on, you know, remote power bases that your government doesn't have any control anymore. You're about to cede it all to supranational organizations. So people need to get onto that and fight these WHO international health regulation changes and that are going through at the moment, and make a noise.
You know, that was another one of the pieces of the puzzle that wasn't discussed in the Senator Johnson's panel.
Yeah, good point, Dr. Lee. Yes.
Yes, and maybe I should add, you know, they are prepared in this new international health regulations also part for bacteria attack protocol in case there will be pandemic with bacteria. They're prepared. And you know, the guy who was preparing legal parts are the same guy who was preparing, who was standing behind this anthrax attack, I think in 2001 it was, or 2003, I'm not sure. But the same guy is standing behind this anthrax attack. He's the one who prepared legal things in the new international health regulations what concerns bacteria attack.
Well, we do need to look into that. The person in the United States who was found correctly, there was someone accused falsely, whom I know well, and it took years to clear his name, and the government, the U.S. government, had to settle for false accusations in the millions of dollars. But the person who ultimately was found to be responsible for the anthrax letter attack in the U.S. Senate ultimately committed suicide, and he had been working at Fort Detrick, and his attempt to scare Congress with the anthrax letters was in order to salvage the anthrax vaccine program. I have that firsthand from military service members who were the plaintiffs on the anthrax lawsuit and the attorneys, and that came out in the court documents in 2004 when it was ruled that that was an unlawful mandate. I don't know if you knew that piece of the puzzle, but
yeah, I heard, Heiko said that there was one suicide, and that's why we connected. You know, it was interesting. He was following this suicide, and that's how he found connection with the same people who were behind this preparing of first attack with bacteria, is now preparing the second one. And of course, that was interesting that now also some suicide, suicide of Jeffrey Epstein, is also present here. And it's, well, maybe it's a coincidence, but you should look through the book and look this interview. He really explained in detail everything.
Well, and we will put those links in our show notes. So thank you very much for bringing that forward. For all of you listening, please, there was a lot that was not presented that you need to know. In this four-hour panel, a lot of truth was left out, and we urge you to pay attention to some of the topics we brought up today, the missing pieces of the puzzle. There was no pandemic. The vaccines were not vaccines. They were countermeasures, prototypes produced for the Department of Defense. It was a DOD operation, not mentioned except by Dr. Risch, who only partially went into that. There is no climate change. There is no overpopulation. And the goal is world dominance through public health emergencies and using regulatory authority under the World Health Organization to shut down your life, your private property, your community, your home, your country. It's time to wake up and speak out. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report. Thank you for joining us today. Get loud and speak out and get active in your community to stop the assault on your life, your freedom, and your survival. We'll be back again. Check us out at www.truthforhealth.org.